You remain standing for the reading of the Word of God. It comes to us this morning from the 127th Psalm, and then from the 6th chapter of Mark's Gospel, beginning of the 30th verse. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guard keeps watch in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives sleep to his beloved. Then from Mark 6. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest for a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let me see. I often think, if I could just have 4 more hours a day, if I could just have 4 more hours a day, I could get done everything I need to get done and most of the things that I want to do. Just 4 more hours. I think sometimes, wouldn't it be nice if you could, you know, live way up north in the summer and way down south in the winter where they have the 20-hour long days, you know, 20 hours of daylight, and then I could get all the things I wanted to do and needed to do done. But I hear that people in those places where it stays light all the time, and they start acting kind of strange after a while and you sleep deprived long enough. But since God didn't make the day 28 hours long, most if not all of our attention on time is around the discipline of time management, which really is a focus on efficiency. How do I get more done in less time? It's about finding ways to close the time gaps in my life. It's about figuring out where I'm wasting time. And in the process, the theory is I can not only increase my production, but theoretically, time management will give time back to me. Which means I'm given the illusion that, like God, I can create time. Some of you might remember a little story in the book of Joshua where there's this day where Israel is going into battle, and it says God made the sun stand still. Time did not move. God created time that day. But we're not God. And we can't create time. We just want to be. Now, that was the original sin, right? It wasn't eating from the tree. It was desiring in eating from the tree that I'll know everything God knows, because then I can be God. And then I can make the day 28 hours long if I want it to be 28 hours long every day. Or, since I can't, I can just mistakenly try to live like the day is 28 hours long when it's not. Time management is a discipline that's born out of our insatiable desire for more, to do more, have more, make more. But in the process of desiring more, eventually our desire will exceed our time. And we'll begin to squeeze out of our lives all of the margins that are there. And that gets really dangerous. We squeeze out the margins of our time. I mean, some of us act like those idiots that really hack you off. You know, when you're out on the interstate and traffic is ground to a halt, and you're sitting there now, all that long line of traffic, and sooner or later, it always happens, there he goes. There's always that guy that comes zooming up by you in the emergency lane. Because in his life, right, everything's an emergency. Because his time is way more important than your time. Or my time. You know, in the emergency lane, right? The emergency lane, that's a margin that's built for safety, right? The emergency lane is room to pull over when we break down. The emergency lane is a little extra room that if we get distracted and we wander a little across the line, it keeps me from losing control. So we need some margin over there, right? But some people just think they just drive there anytime they want to. All the time if they want to. And that's how some of us live.
We eliminate the margins of our time, and with it goes the safety that margin affords for us. And it affects not only ourselves, but other people who share our lives by the actions and attitudes that are affected by the squeezing out of my margins, the exceeding of my limits. We're talking for 9 weeks about time, our experience of time. 3 weeks we spent on the past. This is the last of 3 weeks on the present. Next week we'll start with the future. I want to suggest this morning that the very things that we think will buy us more time in the present, the very things we think will help us seize the day, we talked about that first week, get the most out of the day, may be the very things that can rob us of the present. Or actually what they rob us of is our ability to be in the present. And that's the true key, really, in the end, to seizing the day. It is learning how to be present. How to be present with God. How to be present with the people around us that we love and share our life with. From the very beginning, the creation story establishes our need to put limits on the present. That is, on the day. Genesis 1 is a creation story, or a creation poem, actually. And in that poem, there is a repeated refrain. 6 times it's repeated in that poem. It goes like this. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And so it goes, again and again and again, throughout that whole creation poem. What struck me reading that this week, that I never really thought that much about, is how the description has the day starting with evening and ending with morning. I would have done it the other way around. I would have said there's morning and then there's evening, the first day. But I think there's a point to it. Rest before work rather than rest at the end of work, which we may never end. Rest and work. Today, however, we try to create a perpetual morning. We created a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week world. It's a world that, in some ways, never rests. And what we've done, we've done it in an attempt to extend the day, and we've done it at the expense of stealing from the night, stealing from rest to extend the day. I read you an important story from the life of the disciples in Mark chapter 6. The disciples have been out busy, doing kingdom work, important stuff, good stuff. And they come back from all of this work and they're telling Jesus about all the things they had accomplished, all the things they had done. Hearing their description and recognizing in their description their vulnerability, instead of Jesus saying, "Way to go, boys, get back out there and keep at it, you're changing the world," instead he says, "Come away with me to a deserted place and rest for a while." And then Mark has this really interesting line. He says, "For they had no leisure even to eat." No leisure. What he recognized is in having no leisure, they had filled all their margins. All of their leisure was used up with their work. No time to breathe. No time to rest. No time to enjoy their relationship with God and their relationship with others. It is really hard, I find, to be present when we are overstretched and too tired. I become distracted. I lack focus. I even lack compassion. The 127th Psalm that we read, the psalmist says, "It is in vain that you rise early and go to bed late, eating the bread of anxious toil, for God gives sleep to His beloved." That's a good term, isn't it? Eating the bread of anxious toil. Which I think means I overwork and I underrest because I have a work-based anxiety. I don't know about you. Yeah, I struggle not to be what I accomplish. I struggle to leave things undone. And those things go with me even to rest. I don't sleep well. You know, I wake up sometimes thinking about all the things I didn't get done that I should have done. Sometimes I wake up and I think about all the things that I need to get done that haven't been done yet. And I am eating the bread of anxious toil. And it gives me acid reflux. Thank God for Nexium. Next it will be Tylenol PM. The psalm reminds us, unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord guards the city, our anxious toil is in vain anyway. The way God gives sleep to His beloved is to keep reminding us the things I can't control, He's taking care of. Can I trust God to run the world without me while I rest? God created apparently a rhythm to life. Listen to that poem. It was evening. It was morning the first day. There was this rhythm. Rest and work the day. Over and over again. Because to be present with God, to give our best to God and to other people, we can't be exhausted. Secondly, it's not just rest, but the enemy of the present is the pace at which we live in the present. We're all made differently, right? We all have different personalities. That's natural. Some of us are just simply born with a quicker pace than other people. That's okay. Some people just move along, steady, slow. Others of us kind of move along a little faster. You've heard me use this example before. I get sort of the epitome of it for my wife and I. My wife, she moves. Her pace is slow, you know. She's going to live to be 106 like Miss Virginia, and I'm using up my years 2 to 1. She brushes her teeth and it's like this. I brush my teeth just like this. Our pace is different. Our culture, however, is constantly pushing us. No matter what our pace is, our culture is pushing us. Go faster, faster, faster. And the universal truth about that is we miss things when we go too fast. It is the problem with driving on the interstate, 80 miles an hour, bumper to bumper, white knuckle, you know. When we're driving like that, the only thing we can see is what's coming at us out there. There is no way to really pay attention to what's going on around us. It's only what's in front of us, not what's around us when we drive like that. You know, you miss things. Unlike tootling along on the old road at 35 miles an hour, you begin to see things you never saw before. Or like getting stuck out there on that road in that traffic. You're sitting there and you start looking around. I never noticed that before. Well, no wonder. We're going 80 miles an hour. All we can look is out there. We can't look around. The same is true for every part of our life. God's still small voice is subtle. And God's presence is often inconspicuous. They are easily missed when we are moving too fast. When I'm in a hurry, I find I start looking always ahead of me. Actually, even beyond what's right in front of me, and I'm never looking around me, I start looking beyond people who are in front of me. And I sure aren't noticing the people that are around me. Because I can't be in the present moment when I'm going that fast. One of the manifestations of the pace of our culture is technology. Now, technology rests heavily on the promise of going faster. How many technological things do you know that promise you to help you go slower? Right? Oh, we have this new computer out, guaranteed to go slower. So you'll have to sit there and wait on something. Every technological advancement promises to go faster, right? Not slower. There is no doubt technology is an incredible time saver, but in the process, it can become a threat to being present here right now. Take multitasking. for example. People have always multitasked, I'm sure. It's a term now that goes with the world we live in. We commonly practice doing more than one thing at one time. That's okay, I guess. But take driving, for example. See, I can drive my car, talk on my phone, check my email. That's against the law, I think. Eat my lunch, all at the same time on the way to my next appointment. I get a lot done, right? But none of which can I be fully present in doing. And I suspect you all would rather me be fully present in driving the car if you're out there on the road with me. I get frustrated with myself about it. Disappointed often in myself. Our daughter will call. One of the daughters that I ask every night when I go home, I ask my wife, talk to any of the girls today? Well, one of the girls will call. And I'm sitting at my desk, working on my computer. And so I'm talking and answering my emails. You know, and I realize in the middle of that I'm really not fully present with her in this conversation. And even worse, don't you hate call waiting? So I'm sitting at my desk and I'm talking on my phone to her and I'm answering my emails and this other call comes in and I say, oh, can you hang on just a minute? I really need to get this. But it's never just a minute, right? Just a minute, a few minutes, and then when I go back, she's gone. And why not? I wasn't there anyway. I wasn't present. But I can't really blame it all on technology, right? Just like the devil exploits my humanity, so does technology. You remember that great story in the gospel about Jesus going to Mary and Martha's house? I use it all the time. Friends of Jesus, and Jesus comes to their house, and it says that Mary puts everything down and sits at Jesus' feet. Fully present with Jesus. Martha, understandably, is scrambling around trying to throw a meal together for all these unexpected guests who have just dropped into her house, growing increasingly frustrated by all of the things she's juggling, but particularly about her sister who's sitting at Jesus' feet, just being present with Jesus, being frustrated with Jesus for not making her get up and go help her do all these things she's doing. Finally, Jesus says to Martha, this is what he says, Martha, you are distracted. That means you're not present, right? You are distracted by many things, plural. Mary has chosen the better thing, singular. The difference in the two. Mary's not trying to cook the meal, watch the TV, and check her email, and listen to Jesus over her shoulder in the other room while she's doing all this. Jesus is simply saying to choose one thing to be present. We may have to choose one thing, not many things. It's really hard to be present when we're choosing many things. So I guess what I'm suggesting is the best way to seize the day is to simply focus on being present where we are in the day. And that requires things like we talked about, like creating and guarding some margins in our lives, not overfilling every moment with too many things. To rest adequately. Sleep, according to the Bible, sleep is holy. Jesus napped through a storm in the boat and it drove the disciples crazy. How can you just be there taking a nap? Slow down. The practice, the discipline of slowing. Maybe we need to take a technology break every once in a while. Imagine turning off our cell phone, turning off our iPad. You're talking about an anxiety-creating moment. You know, you turn that thing off and you watch that apple disappear. And the anxiety just starts to rise in you as you know you're suddenly cut off from all of the important things in your life. Limit how much I try to do at any one time. Find the one thing and do it. Find a godly rhythm for my life. See, it's a rhythm that keeps things in sequence or in proper order when I lose my sense of rhythm going too quickly. Now, say all of that is easier said than done, right? Sounds good. That's why I'm talking to me. So let me give you one more piece of advice from Jesus that can help us be present. Matthew 5:38, Sermon on the Mount. It's one little statement Jesus made. Maybe I'm pulling out of context, but maybe not. He said this, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Let your yes be yes, and your no, which simply means, Have some real clear priorities. Decide what is truly important and do that. See, the only way to be committed to the present, to where I am and what I'm doing and who I'm with right now, is to learn to say yes to that moment and learn to say no to other things. Now, too often, we find ourselves saying yes when we mean no. Some of us, we don't know how to say no. We need one of those no buttons. If you go over to Jennifer's office, our administrative assistant in the back, she has this no button on her desk. But Jennifer's like me, she doesn't know how to say no. So every once in a while, somebody needs to press that button on her desk. It just says no, no, 1,000 times no. We might need one of those if we can't say no. But when our yes is not really a yes, I am not committed to, nor am I passionate about where I am at the moment. I don't really want to be there, so I'm not there. Oh, I'm there in body, but I'm not there. It's like most denominational meetings I go to. You know, I said yes, but I really meant no, and I'm there, but I'm really not there. This week, I'll just leave you with this. Try focusing on just being truly present where we are in the moment. But we will fail if we don't do some things to enable us to be present in the moment. Because if we don't, we will look back and realize we missed some really important things. Because we had no margins and we were too tired. Because we were going too fast and we couldn't see around us. Because we wouldn't choose one thing and say yes to it and say no to other things. You be present. Be present with God. Be present with the people that we love and who love us. That's how to live in the present. Be